Good morning. It's a blessing again to be here with you all to worship and to praise God and to listen to His Word. And I hope we can continue doing that. Now, the title I have for this morning is You Don't Need to Serve God. But that's conditional. The rest of it is if you love Him. My mother, from a very young age, taught me that there were, you know how children are, or maybe y'all aren't like I am, or like I was. But there were certain chores I did not like to do. And she told me this. She said, if you want to do it, you don't have to. Now, the first time she told me that, she said, okay, I want to. Well, then go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it. We don't need to serve God if we love Him. Now, it's been a long time since I have cried this much in a preparation of a message. And I hope this morning that I'll be able to still communicate with you and preach clearly what the Lord has laid on my heart. I'd like for us to turn to John. Actually, 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4. And we'll start reading in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. We don't need to serve God if we love him. Yet at the same time, we have to serve God. I mean, we have one of two options. We either serve God or we serve the devil. And so, as the Apostle Paul said, he was under constraint to follow God at any which way, if willingly or unwillingly. He still had to serve God. He said, I really have no other option because I don't want the other option. So that's where we are today. Yes, there is another option, but there really is no other option. But we don't need to serve him. And I guess the thing that I'd really like for us to analyze this morning is, am I following God because I have to? Or am I following God because I really, truly, truly want to? Because I love him. When I was a little boy, I was slow. I guess I'm still slow in a lot of ways. My brothers, just older and younger than me, were fast. They were intelligent. They were strong. I wasn't that way. They could work circles around me. In school, when the boys went out to play soccer for recess, there were times when I was sent back to play jacks with the girls because I just couldn't perform on the soccer field. I just wasn't good enough. Now my dad, by example, taught me the meaning of duty and of sacrifice and of hard work. And I was many times told to either not do something or how to do something. But very few times was I told, you did a good job, son. And I'm sharing this not to fault him. And thankfully, neither he nor I are at the same place that we were back then. And I grew up being very sensitive. And being good. I tried to, in the best way I could, to be good. And when God called me, I answered. It wasn't something that I struggled for long against God in rebellion or something like that. I tried to be a good little boy. I also expected of myself to be perfect. I expected nothing less of myself than perfection. And if I didn't meet up to that standard of perfection, I kicked myself. I dotted my I's, I crossed my T's. I did slow, good, methodical work. I did everything as perfect as possible. I was a perfectionist, and anything that was within my purview was done to those exacting specifications as much as I possibly could. Years later, I realized that I was actually serving God out of pain and for acceptance. I wanted to be accepted of God. I didn't really do it because I loved Him. Yes, I did love Him. But that was not my motivation. That was not the reason why I served God. I served Him because I knew I had to. And yes, I wanted to because I had to. I was a perfectionist. And years later, the thing that clicked for me was that I was doing it because I was looking for acceptance. I was looking for someone to tell me, you did a good job. Now, if you'd have watched me, how I did things, you'd have thought I had everything together. And I was the life of the party. And you wouldn't have realized that the reason I did a lot of the things was because I was longing for acceptance. Now I'd like to just spend a little bit of time here in John, in 1 John there. If you look at verse 7, it says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. God is the essence of love. Why? Because He is love. God doesn't just have love, God is love. And if we know God, K-N-O-W, if we know God, we will know love, right? Because God is love. But if we don't have love, if we have no love, we also do not know God. So we could also say N-O-W. know God, that equals no love. Because we don't know God. But the question I have is, do we really know God? Have we really allowed that love to come into us and truly transform and change who we are? That relationship. See, the problem is that a lot of times we have a concept of God in the same way of what we have of our Father and of those relationships around us. This is the kind of concept we have of God. Now, it continues telling us in there in verse 9 through and 10, it tells us that because he loved us, he sent his Son. And this was manifest in the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world. Herein is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and he sent his Son. That's the kind of love that God had for us. The sacrificial kind of love for us. And then he goes on to clarify. Verse 11 and 12 said, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we had also to love one another." We have not seen God. All we have seen is each other. And according to the relationships that we have with other people, we can figure out if we truly love God or we don't. It really is simple. In verse 13 through 16, it tells us how we can know that we are his. We can know, we can understand God's love for us. God is not distant. God is someone who wants to be right there with me. And we can know that we are his. "Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us the Spirit." We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. We can know that, and we can experience it. The interesting thing is that as we experience that, and we allow that love to be a part of us, it's interesting what it will do to these relationships as well. It will transform these as we allow his love to transform us. Now, many times it's just something just a little beyond what we're comfortable with, though. Have you ever been uncomfortable by love? I'm talking about true love. See, if we're uncomfortable with that, We're going to always put a distance between us on this level. And unfortunately, as much as we'd like to pretend, we're also going to put a distance between us and God. Verse 17 says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." Meeting God should not be scary for us. Right? It shouldn't be. Why? Because we have this kind of a relationship. You know, you're close friends. When you meet a close friend, are you scared to go up to them? No. Why not? Because you're close friends. You are comfortable being in their presence. And that's the kind of love that we should have. And that's the kind of relationship that we should have with God. Being comfortable in his presence. To where it doesn't really matter where we are. And it doesn't matter if we are alive or dead. We don't fear him. And we don't fear being in his presence. Either absent right now while we are in the body, or even going to him, as we will one day. Because we have perfect love, we have boldness. We have an open relationship. Right? You're close friends. You can tell them anything. You're bold with them, right? And if you're at their house and you need something, don't you just ask them for it? But I've been in situations where, I really would like this and I really should have this, but I'm not sure if I want to ask. That right there is an indicator that it was not a close relationship. How's my relationship with God? You know, do I have that kind of a comfortable relationship with God? Or don't I? Verse 18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." You know, going back to what we're talking about. We won't have fear if we truly love. And I'll just say this. Hell is a poor reason to serve God. It's a very poor reason. But you know what? Heaven is also not why we should be serving God. It's not why I should be serving God. Yes, that's my goal. Yes, that's where I hope all of us are going. But that's not the reason for serving God. I should serve him because of that love that comes out of me. Because I see his great sacrifice for me. And because he sacrificed so much for me. I love him in such a deep and meaningful way. That you know what? Yes, I want to be in heaven. Because when this is done, I want to be with him. That relationship, I want it to continue for all eternity. Sure, that will be in heaven. But that's not what I'm after. I'm after love. Because I love him. And he loved me so much that he made it all possible. He made the way to get there through Jesus Christ. And he is offering me a place for eternity to be with him, to be in his presence, to truly experience love. Because God is love. Ephesians 2, verse 8 through 10. Does tell us, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now it's very clear that it is not because of works. And we don't do things to merit salvation and to merit his love. At the same time, it is all about works. If you look at verse 10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We were created to do these good works. That's the reason we were created. And we are going to do these things if we love him. So we don't do these things to deserve it. Yet at the same time, we do it because we love him. It's a natural expression. And we were created this way. And why do we love him? It says in verse 19 of 1 John, we love him because he first loved us. Now we all yearn for love. We do. Every one of us longs for love and acceptance. At the same time, a lot of us have a problem loving because we do not know how to accept love freely. Religion is based on conditions. Look at all the religions in the world. They all have certain conditions and certain things. You do this and this and this to get this. Lots of Christians live under a conditional love agreement. And I think, you know, I have to do this to merit this. Or I have to do this to be a Christian. No, we don't. But if we do love, We will do those things, and it'll be automatic. It'll be something that we love to do. We don't have to do it. Now, there are people who take this and say, well, because it is not conditional upon works, then I'm just going to do whatever I want to. Well, I'll just tell you, that is not a Christian either. And that is not true love, because if you truly love someone, and if you truly love God, you will do these things. Not because you have to, but because you want to do them. God's love is unconditional. God's loved everyone in an unconditional way. And when we realize that God loves us unconditionally, it will revolutionize how we live. It's a natural expression of it. Now, I've said this story here before, but they tell me of a story of a woman who's married, and her husband had a list of things that he wanted her to do. You know, on Monday you do this, on Tuesday you have that, and you're going to clean the house in this way, and you're going to this and that and the other thing. And he had a big long list for her of how she was supposed to perform. And she did it. She did those things. But it was a little bit hard for her to always keep after all those things in the way he had that list. Her husband died. After some time, she got married again. And down the road one time, she was up in the attic looking through some stuff, and here she found the list. And she read over the list, and she realized that she was doing all those things for her husband, for her new husband. She was doing all those things without having to do them. And she just felt so free, and she just loved doing these things for her husband. He didn't force her to do those things. He loved her. And her natural expression of his love for her was doing these things for him. It's amazing. Amazing what true love does for us. You know, we do these things because we want to, not because we have to, not because I'm shamed into it, not because there's a God with a big stick who's telling me I have to do these things, but it's because I routinely sit with my daddy. I routinely sit with my father, my God. I sit with him. I commune with him. I love him. He loves me. He sits me on his lap. And he tells me that he loves me. You know, that's the kind of relationship that we should have with God. And I know for some of us, it's really hard for us to imagine that. Because we might not have had those things done to us. But I'm telling you, that is the kind of relationship we should have with our eternal Father. Interestingly enough, as we allow that love to happen, and as we take away those barriers between us and God, it's interesting what it'll do to our relationships here. You know, as I sit on my father's lap. You know, there's sometimes I'll sit there after a spanking. That's not a bad thing, right? Yes, sometimes I fail. But I know even after a good spanking that God loves me. And he does it, why? Because he loves me. That's why he brought me to this. And I sit there. And I can sit, soak up that love. And I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands. But how many of you have been held by the earthly father? How many of you have felt close in that way to your father? Were you comfortable being held in that way? Now, there's a whole bunch of girls in this world who were never held by their daddies. Consequently, they're on the lookout for someone who will notice, who will love them. If you see a flirty girl, you know what? She's longing for love. She's seeking love. Many times she doesn't know what true love really means. And many get attention because of lust. And they continue longing for love. They continue longing for that love. And by the way, a lot of those little girls have grown up. And today, they are mommies. And they are grandmas, and they're still searching for love. Because women are a lot more in tune with their feelings. They a lot of times realize that these things are missing in their relationships. I'm talking about their earthly relationships. But for many, you know, they've given up love. They've just given up on love. They just say, you know, it doesn't exist. Or it might exist for other people, but just for me, nah. It doesn't exist. Now understand, not everybody is at the same place. The nice thing about a group like this is that we can fix our relationships, both on this side as well as this side. We have the option. And we can come to the perfect relationships here as we can have them with God as well. You know, many, many women have just given up on true love. You know, the kind of love that is deeply emotionally satisfying, the kind of love that is safe, that is snuggly, that is close. You know, they just said, well, it doesn't exist. I'll just say this, it does exist. And that's the kind of love we also have to have with our Father. That's the way it should be. That's the way our love relationship should be with our Heavenly Father. Now, there's also a lot of boys, big, tough boys, who were never held by their daddies either. And they didn't come up to their mommy's expectations. Boys who have vowed they will never cry again. Because they grew out of that. They became tough. And they know how to face life. Crying is for sissies. Crying is for the weak ones. They keep looking for love and acceptance. In all the wrong places, you know. Cars and sports and trucks and hunting and fishing. With girls, pornography, drugs, alcohol. They look for it in the arts, the music, the photography. And then some of them are really good. They're the perfect model in society and in their churches. And they're good. But they hide their pain behind hard work, behind ministering, and behind service. If I have to perform a certain way to feel like I can even be loved, it's because I believe a lie. If others have to perform so I can be okay with them, that's not love either. Relationships are complicated. I'm not here to say that they're easy. But just in the last few days, there are four instances that come to mind. I was thinking a lot about this. And I realized that for this one relationship, I was performing in this one relationship. And the thing that I was afraid of in this relationship was that one look that I would be given, depending on the circumstance. You ever had the look given to you? And you know right away, it's like, ooh. I was afraid of that look. I was afraid of that look. But perfect love casts out fear. The other person did not have to change for me to get rid of the fear of that look. It's a fascinating thing about it. I cried like I have rarely cried over the fear of that look. But God met me there. And God ministered to me as I allowed him to take the fear of that look. Well, I was also thinking of another relationship. And this is This is a relationship, somebody that I would have known from the past. And there's a brother that is dealing with this person right now. And probably about a month ago, I told the brother, I said, I just want to tell you something. Right now, you have a good relationship with this person. Right now, you're okay. You're good. But you're going to have to set yourself certain boundaries. Plus, you're also going to have to remember that when this relationship goes sour, to remember, it's not your fault. You know, I expected this relationship was going to go for quite a lot longer than it did. It's less than a month since I told him that. The other day he called me and says, I've got real issues. Got real issues. This lady has a problem relating to a daughter that she has. She's super smart, but her relationships don't last very long. She'll suck anybody dry emotionally, and she'll take and take and take and keep on taking. And then, when she's sucked everything dry, then she moves on to the next relationship. And you know whose problem it is? It's your problem. She's right now looking at getting into counseling. For her to be the counselor, because she understands people, yet she can't get along with others. She claims to be a Christian. She claims to have a really good communication with God. With what I have told you, do you believe her? I don't. I'm not here judging her, okay? I want you to understand that I'm not judging her. But there's something, and there are some things in her life, and I know quite a few of them, that she has refused to go to those places and take care of those things. Because it's not her problem. And worldly counseling will tell you that it's the other person's problem, right? So if somebody hurts me, it's they did it, and I have to express it to them. And I have to come and tell them what they did wrong so that they can feel my pain. And as I voice it, you know, then I'll have closure on it. Fascinatingly enough, I haven't found it that way. I do believe in identifying what hurts and what the problem is. I do. But, as I just said earlier, that relationship that I dealt with just this week, the other person never changed. The other person never changed. Not one single thing. Yet I feel free. I generally find three things. And I'm not saying that this is an exclusive list. But generally I find three things in my life and in other people's lives. When we come up against the thing that hurts us, the thing that is bothering us, the thing that is ruining our relationships, I find three things. And that's forgiveness, repentance, and acceptance. Three things that I generally have to deal with in my own life. And for myself, I have found it in that way. I find that we, a lot of times, there's a lot more need for forgiveness and then repentance and then acceptance. You know, the way I look, hey, I've got to just accept it. You know, if that's my problem, I've got to live with it, okay? I've got to accept that. That's just a for instance of some of the things that we just have to accept. This is how it is. I'm not going to change it. Yeah, I could put makeup on, but yeah, it wouldn't help me much, okay? I've got to accept that. That's just who I am. But a lot of times I've got to come to the point where I forgive people for what they have done to me. Sometimes I need to forgive myself. Sometimes I need to repent. And you know, sometimes I have to repent because I have not forgiven. But those are the things that I have found that are the hardest things to deal with. And I have to deal with them on those levels. I'd like for us to go back to 1 John. Again, if you moved away from there. And I'd like to just read it again. And I'd like for us to recognize that this passage was written by someone who was comfortable with Jesus. Someone who actually would lean up against Jesus. He was comfortable in Jesus' presence. He was comfortable, if you want to say it that way, he was comfortable snuggling up to Jesus. It's interesting that the Bible talks about that, right? And so here's John, who loved Jesus, who was loved of Jesus. And this is what he tells us. And I just want us, as we're reading this, again, think, how is my relationship with God? How are my relationship with others? Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. Is that the kind of relationship I have with God? Is God a tender, loving God? Does He hold me? Am I comfortable being held by Him? Those are the kind of questions I'd like to leave with us. Each one of us will have to answer those questions. I can answer them for you. You can answer them for me. But as we take these questions to God, we can find those answers. And what's more, we can find a perfect and a loving relationship with Him. And as I love God, and as I am loved of Him, then I also will love others. And understand, we've got to work with these relationships. But I want you to remember that a lot of times our relationships can change dramatically just by me changing. It's amazing. It's amazing. For all of us who can, let's kneel in prayer. Father, again, here we are in Your presence. Lord, You know each one of us. Lord, You understand our hearts. You understand our needs. And I thank You that You are our Father. And I thank You that we can come and we can snuggle into Your arms. And we can allow Your perfect love to come down into our hearts. And so transform us and so move us that we can then go on to serve You. Lord, not because we have to, but because we want to. Because we love You. Because we desire to serve You above all else. And there's no other relationship, there's no other thing that so moves us as Your love. So again, Father, we thank You for Your love. And we thank You that You care so much about us. And You have proven it to us over and over. Lord, You sent Your Son to forgive us. Lord, we can't pay You. We can never merit Your love. And that's why, again, here we are, just thanking You for it and saying, Lord, here we are. We love You because You loved us. Again, we thank You in the name of Jesus.